A Christmas Wish and a Cranberry Kiss at the Cozy Kettle by Liz Eales, read by Jessica Preddy for Saga Egmont. For Freddy, with love. Chapter 1. I stand back, with my hands on my hips, and gaze around me. The Cozy Kettle is looking fabulously festive, if a tad overblinged. The plastic angel with hair like golden candy floss is maybe a bit OTT with her flashing neon halo. Millicent obviously thinks so. She's staring at the angel with her mouth open as its halo blinks on and off at the top of the tree. She folds her arms across her ample bosom and frowns. "Where on earth did that monstrosity come from, Becca? Oh, don't tell me. Stanley." I nod. He brought it along specially because it was a favourite of his wife's. He said Christmas wasn't Christmas until Edna came out of her box.
Edna?
That's what they called the angel, I say, hoping that Millicent isn't about to cause a non-festive fuss. She looks like Stanley's Auntie Edna, apparently. Only if she wafted round in a cheap nightie, never brushed her hair and flashed it all in sundry. Is Millicent making a joke? I giggle but stop when she glares at me, although I've learned since I started working at the Cozy Kettle that Millicent's bark is worse than her bite. She lives in an amazing house in the posh village next to Honeyford and puts on airs and graces, but I reckon she's quite lonely, really. Why else would she spend so much of her time in here, a small cafe in the back of a little Cotswolds bookshop?
What about everything else? I ask, tilting my head at the decorations I came in early to put up.
Shining strands of red and silver tinsel are looped across the walls. Sparkly gold stars are hanging from the ceiling, and I've draped pink fairy lights along the shelves. A tall, slightly listing fir tree in the corner is dripping with red baubles and glass snowmen, and a plastic reindeer with a light-up nose is standing on the counter, near the till. Millicent sniffs.
It's rather more...
She hesitates.
Showy than I choose. Live by the old adage, less is more, and you can't go wrong, in my book. Personally, I can't bear an overly colourful Christmas.
She'd hate my parents' house, then. Dad decks the outside of the building with enough lights to drain the national grid, and inside, it's a riot of rainbow colours and tatty papier-mâché decorations that Jasmine and I made at school. Thinking of Mum and Dad makes me feel guilty, because I haven't visited them for a while. Mum rang yesterday to let me know that Jasmine had called in, and there was a hint of reproach in her voice, along with the unspoken question, "How come you and Jasmine are so different?" Jasmine and I are sisters, twins, actually, but no one would guess it. Jasmine, older than me by a few minutes, is the family's golden girl. She's poised and confident and only has hissy fits in private, usually in front of me. Whereas I'm a bit of a disaster. Shy, scared of just about everything, and prone to occasional panic attacks in public. It doesn't seem fair, really, that my sister sucked out all my good genes in the womb like a tiny fetal vampire and claimed them for herself. I glance at my reflection in the glistening chrome coffee machine and sigh. We even look different. Jasmine's long blonde hair tumbles around her perfect heart-shaped face. She's all ephemeral, glowing beauty, and drop-dead gorgeous. My oval face is pale against my hair, which is dyed sapphire blue and cut much shorter. My features are regular, and my eyes, arguably my best feature, are green and fringed with dark lashes. I'm more not bad, does the best she can, attractive. Zach, my housemate, did tell me I was pretty a while back, but I don't think he had his glasses on at the time. But at least I'm happy here. I look around the glittering cafe and smile. Serving coffee and cake might not be everyone's idea of a high-flying career, but I get pleasure from doing a good job. And I feel safe in this little back room that's been...